The scripture today is Matthew 6, 25-34, Pew Bible, page 840. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his or her life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown away into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Today we light the candle of peace. And yet we ask ourselves, perhaps, is this a farce? We have heard already a number of voices when we announce peace, we also doubt. Or we look around and we see the world as it is. Owl's prayer. We ask for peace, we seek peace, but we see war around us. The song, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. The verse, I bowed my head in despair because there is no peace on earth. We have days, personally, when our stomachs are sour, when we have headaches, when we have tightness in our chest because we don't want that next hour to come, that next day to come. We are worried. We are anxious. We pick up our newspapers. We watch the television and we hear stories about climate change. Political situations that just make us sick. Rumors of war and open warfare around the world where bodies are torn, where people are suffering. We see images of people battling cancer and other medical problems. We ask ourselves in this post 9/11 world, is terrorism going to catch up to us? Or are we so cut off and so numb to the stories about another shooting in our public places in the United States? How can we speak of peace in such a world? And what peace are we talking about? Are we just plugging our ears and naively parading forward and saying peace, 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 while around us the world is violent and the suffering continues? Wearing rose-colored glasses, not facing the world as it is? Or is this a peace that only a few, the wealthy, the privileged can have? They can build large homes and isolate themselves in private neighborhoods with high walls around them. Doctors can come in and give them their health care, and they are cut off from the world, and they have peace? Maybe. The concerns still there? Or do we have a dominant ruling class pushing down, setting the agenda for everyone, ignoring the pain and the suffering of the working classes? Is that peace? Do we dare tolerate that peace? What is peace in this world? Around Christmas time, we love beautiful images. We love beautiful music, beautiful decorations, beautiful nativity scenes. We love to highlight the beautiful qualities to the Nativity story. And yet there is someone, at least, who is missing from this manger scene. Someone that we would gladly exclude from the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Herod, of course, interrogates them, trying to figure out where is this Messiah to be born. The Magi seem to work with him for a while, but then they learn in a dream that they are to go another way. And we pick up the story after the Magi have seen Jesus and gone another way. "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I call my son.' When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. 'A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more.'" Of course, we would want to exclude Herod from our manger scene. And yet, the story of Herod reminds us that any discussion of peace, the proclamation of the angels, is into a world of violence. The biblical world is just as violent as our world today, just different forms. Human beings locked in a never-ending battle, fighting with one another. And the question that we might ask in that situation is, why would Herod do what he did? As opposed to listening to what the Magi were saying, why did Herod not just send his own gift to that manger scene? I don't know if we can ever fully answer that question. It goes to the heart of why human beings would give themselves over to sin and to evil impulses. Why do we turn away from God? Why do we turn away from joy? This week, when I was feeding my cats, I was paying attention to something that was going on. We have four cats. And this is something that happens whenever the food comes out. You could see this with dogs. You could see this with other pets. But I saw it with my cats this week. The question was, which cat would get to the food first? Who gets fed first? Seems to be a big concern among the cats. And I think it's a concern that we human beings still share. This basic impulse, who gets there first? Who gets the food first? Who gets the best? Who is in charge? Who is top cat? Herod was worried about that very thing. These prophecies about a Messiah, even though the Messiah probably would not be old enough to challenge him anytime soon, the thought of a Messiah, a king of the Jews, someone to challenge Herod's authority, his dynasty, his legacy. He couldn't see the throne getting passed down to someone other than his son. And because of this, Herod reaches out in violence and creates fear, anxiety, and suffering in his world. And so if the angels are proclaiming peace in this world, we understand that that peace comes through Jesus. So what did Jesus do as an adult during his ministry? He preached to such a world. And one of these passages is in the Sermon on the Mount, the passage Savannah read about not being anxious, not letting fear take control of us. Herod's fear and lashing out in violence. Here, Jesus specifically saying, do not be anxious. But anxious about what? About the number of days that you have on this planet, on what you will wear, and on what you will eat and drink. And so if we look at these things, we ask ourselves, are these big matters? Don't these seem like petty things? But just like those cats pushing for the food, who gets there first? We see a number of these tendencies within the human condition, within human beings, within ourselves, that show in these simple instances, and then they show in larger examples and in larger occurrences. So this first one, Jesus says we should not be worried about what we should wear. Certainly the clothing industry will not be happy if we are at peace with what is in our closets. Isn't that what the fashion industry is all about? Creating unrest within us. That there's a time that you can wear bell bottoms, or there's only a time that you can wear a plaid jacket or shirt or a thin tie or dark colors. But what happens if you're not wearing the in brand? The in style. Are you not cool? Are we so obsessed with what we are wearing that we lose touch with how privileged we are? If our concern is about whether our jeans are in style or whether we are wearing the right brand to work or to school, then our concerns are betraying the wealth in which we live. Because there are people around the world who do not have shoes, who do not have adequate clothing, who would love to have a pair of jeans, whether it had holes in them or not. And in those instances, we understand what is at stake. Jesus tells us not to be anxious about what we wear, that God knows our needs. And the lilies of the field, those simple flowers out there, even Solomon, who had the greatest of wealth, according to Jesus, was not arrayed in as beautiful a way as that simple lily. Well, then we think about what we eat and what we drink. And certainly the food industries, the meat packing plants, and the fast food restaurants would not want us to be at peace with what we have in our kitchen, in our cabinets. And we think about all the different types of food that we could bring. We have stories about people who come from other countries and come to the United States, and they walk into our grocery stores and they are amazed at the options that we have in front of us. And yet we are so concerned about what we pick off our shelves, whether it is the best tasting product on that shelf, not to mention that it might have the most sugar on the shelf. And then we bring it home and we might glance at the ingredients in it, and then we might start to worry about, well, is it better for us to eat something with butter in it or the replacement for butter? And once again, we betray the wealth in which we live if our concerns are so much about getting what tastes best or getting what we think is the healthiest food, when there are people around the world who struggle to find anything close to a balanced diet or struggle to find food to fill the hunger within them. Jesus tells us today, do not be anxious for what you eat and drink, because God knows your needs and that God will provide for you just as God provides for the birds who fly through in the season. And then we come to one of the issues that really hurts sometimes. Quality of life. And certainly the beauty industry and the medical industry would not want us to be at peace with the number of days that we have on this planet. You think about the number of beauty products that are out there designed to change the color of our hair or the color of our complexions. Or think about the amounts of money that we spend on pharmaceuticals or vitamins to try to prolong our lives, to pull them out. Jesus is not saying don't take care of yourself, but Jesus is saying don't be obsessed with these kinds of things. Jesus says seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will work its way out. And here we ask ourselves today, with all these concerns about what we eat and drink and what we wear and the number of days on the earth and whether we've got another wrinkle on our faces or another gray hair or another pimple that we need to cover up, are we seeking God's kingdom first, or are we letting all these distractions pull us away from where God wants us to be in this earth? Are we letting our fears and our anxieties push us away from the kingdom of God? Are we letting our fears and our anxieties push us towards violence? As those cats jockey for who gets fed first, are we still in that game? Or are we concerned about seeking God's kingdom first? We might ask ourselves, as we think about our times of confession, as we bow before God in humility, confessing that we're sinners, we might ask ourselves, what sorts of things have we done personally to secure better food or better clothing or a longer life or a more beautiful presentation of ourselves in public? What have we sacrificed? What have we done that we need to confess? Because Jesus' call here is for us individually. He asks us individually, are we concerned about our clothing, our food, our quality of life? And then we ask ourselves, what have we done? One of my favorite films is The Mission, and it is a film about the establishment of a Jesuit mission among a tribal people in South America. But it is a tragic story, and things go awry. At the end of it, though, there's this crucial exchange. One character says to the archbishop who's made this decision about the mission, and he says, well, things went bad because that's the world in which we live. And we think about all the concerns and the worries that we have. So often we might just give in and say, well, that's just the way the world is. But the archbishop, in responding, says, no, that's the world that we have made. And God has given us the freedom to shape the world around us. And when we ask ourselves, are we so concerned about food and clothing and quality of life, what world have we shaped? And then if there are others in the world who do not have food, who do not have clothing, who do not have access to medical care, what have we done to contribute to that? When Jesus asks us to put His kingdom first, then we realize our responsibility to those in need, and that we reach out and that we care for those without food, without clothing, and without medical care. That is the message that Jesus is preaching to us in this world. But then we still ask ourselves, is there peace in the midst of all of this? Because there's still a Herod working in the world somewhere today. Someone seeking violence. And in that, we realize once again what's going on in the Nativity story that we celebrate every year. That Jesus is coming into a world of violence. Jesus is in the midst of Herod's world. And Jesus in the midst of the crowd that cries out, "Crucify Him." He's in their world too. He's in our world whenever we have sinned and sacrificed someone else for our own advancement. And it's in that world that the angels preach peace. It's in that world that Jesus is the emissary of God's peace. Peace will not originate with us. Peace is always a gift. If we think about Christmas as the gift-giving season, we realize the greatest gift is the peace that God sends to us in this world. And that is the peace that we latch on to and we proclaim when we light the candle of peace. It is not something that we achieve. It's something that God gives. And it is a transforming peace as we receive peace from Christ. Then we reach out and we start fashioning the world in new ways. And that peace will come when God's time has come. We come now to our time of invitation and commitment. Hymn number 528, "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place." This is a time for each one of us to consider once again, are we living according to the peace of God? God has given us this great gift. Are we going to value it and proclaim it, or are we going to squander it? Now is also a time for you, if you've never made a commitment to follow Christ, this church offers you this opportunity. If you would walk forward, we pray for you and to encourage you as you seek to become a disciple of Christ. This is a time for our decisions as we stand and sing hymn number 528.